नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय उदीरयेत् नष्टाप्रेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवत उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति न इष्टकी। Sixth canto, chapter 9, text 39, on the subject matter of the appearance of the demon Vritasura. It's a long text.
Atahavaha tava mahimantra rasa samudra viprusha shakrat avalidhaya swamanasi nishadhamana vardratha shukena vishmarita dishtashruta vishaya shuka lesha bhasha parama bhagavata ekantina bhagavati sarva bhuta priya shruhidi sarvatmani nitaram nirantaram nirvrita manasa katham uhava ete madumatana puna swarta kushala hi atma priya surhida sarvadastva charanam bujashevanam vrishinjanti na yatra punar ayam samsara prayarvartaha. Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki.
This is a conversation that's taking place between the devas and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The devas are glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, in the following verses that we have read previously, and today they are continuing to glorify in this particular verse. The devas are saying, therefore, O killer of the Madhu demon, incessant transcendental bliss flows in the minds of those who have even once tasted but a drop of the nectar from the ocean of your glories. Such exalted devotees forget the tiny reflection of so-called material happiness produced from the material senses of sight and sound. Free from all desires, such devotees are the real friends of all living entities. Offering their minds unto you and enjoying transcendental bliss, they are expert in achieving the real goal of life. O Lord, you are the sole and dear friend of such devotees who never need to return to this material world. How could they give up engagement in your devotional service? Do you like to read together the text? Is it okay? Please repeat after me. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes, it's a short purport. Although non-devotees, because of their meager knowledge and speculative habits, cannot understand the real nature of the Lord, a devotee who has once tasted the nectar from the Lord's lotus feet can realize what transcendental pleasure there is in the Lord's devotional service. A devotee knows that simply by rendering service to the Lord, he serves everyone. Therefore, devotees are real friends to all living entities. Only a pure devotee can preach the glories of the Lord for the benefit of all conditioned souls. Thus ends the translation and purport to text 39, chapter 9, 6th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, the subject matter of the appearance of the demon Vritasura. Om Ajnana Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to speak. This is for my own purification. So kindly forgive me if there are any mistakes and shortcomings in this lecture. My name is Uttama Chaitanya Das. I've come here with my godbrother, His Grace Rasika Murari Prabhu, and two other devotees from Malaysia. We have come here to learn rather to beg from the devotees of Shishi Radha Chaupati Mandir. And so far the devotees have been very kind. Basically we have come here to learn. And we have heard so much of the glories of the devotees here. And how His Holiness Radharaj Maharaj is training all very nicely. We also had some good fortune of being associated with the devotees from your temple. The form of His Grace, Upendra Prabhu, who comes now and then. And His Grace Gaurachandra Das Prabhu and His wife Chandrika Mataji were based there for the last 6 to 7 years. His Grace Govind Prabhu and Gauranga Prabhu and the rest of the devotees have been very kind. We will be here till Sunday, and yesterday we had a short tour of the different projects that you are undertaking here. But that's not the subject matter today. The subject matter today is about Vritasura and how I am one of the many Vritasuras. The purport, though, is very short, but it carries very deep meaning. His Holiness Srila Gauranga Maharaj, when he was around physically, he used to read Srila Prabhupada's purport. Though Prabhupada's purports used to be very simple, sometimes very plain, he would say, the subject of Krishna Prem is being spoken here. But when we read, I don't see any Krishna Prem. Where's Krishna Prem? But see, the subject of Krishna Prem is seen spoken here. So in one lecture, he would say, this subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita are meant for the Garudas. But I'm speaking to the crows. I'm not saying you're the crows. Prabhu quoted the shloka the other day from CC. It's meant for the Garudas. But I'm speaking to the crows. What can I do? It is a curse. I have to speak. Otherwise nobody will speak. So by His mercy we have got so much of detailed knowledge from the philosophy that Srila Prabhupada put it very simply in his text, or to the explanation to the text in Srimad Bhagavatam. So this Bhagavatam has been very dear, and have been very dear, and continue to be very dear to the devotees of in the parampara of Srimad Mahaprabhu. Srimad Mahaprabhu himself personally exemplified this, because every day he would hear Bhagavatam. And from whom he would hear Bhagavatam? Mahaprabhu could read Bhagavatam by himself. But he relishes more to hear Bhagavatam from the lips of his close associates in the form of Gadadhar, in the form of Gopinath, in the form of Govinda. All of them would speak Bhagavatam, and Mahaprabhu would relish and get into ecstatic mood just by hearing Bhagavatam. But why would Mahaprabhu do this? Can he read Bhagavatam on his own? So this will go to a different subject matter. But nevertheless, the point is, the devotees get great bliss in sharing and hearing Bhagavatam in association of devotees like this. Sometimes some devotees may say, well, we should hear Bhagavatam from the lips of a pure devotee. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koriya Akya Anana Koriya Namani Asha. The words emanating from the lips of the Sri Guru. The Sri Guru means the Guru is endowed with Sri. And what is that Sri? The only Sri that the Guru has is love for Krishna. That is the only Sri. It's not the latest IBM notebook or the latest MP3 recorder the Guru has, or the latest caravan that has been made for him. The only, or the thousands of disciples he has. No. The only wealth a Guru has is the love for Krishna. So he is called Sri Guru. And that's the Sri Guru whom we are worshipping every morning during Mangala Arati in Sri Guru Ashtaka. And that is the song we are singing, Sri Guru Vandana. And that's the song we are singing for Sri Gurudev. So all the acharyas have written songs for these Sri Gurus in the form of Sri Guru Ashtaka, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Narottama Das Thakur, Sri Guru Vandana, and Bhakti Vinod Thakur's Gurudev. It's all meant for such gurus. And today's subject matter is speaking about such gurus. Today's subject matter, the last line Srila Prabhupada says, sometimes in the purport Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada writes, actually he's speaking sometimes about himself in a humble way. Like for instance, in the purport in Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, when the question was put forward, what happens to the yogis who practice the path of transcendental for a short period of time? What will happen to them? And what happens to those who practice for a long period of time? And what would Prabhupada say in the purport? He would say, for those who practice this path of yoga for a long period of time, they will take birth in families of transcendentalists. That's what Krishna says. Fortunately, our Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and ourselves, this is the humble we, in English we have the humble we, and ourselves, we were born in families of transcendentalists. Meaning that his father, Srila Gauramande and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they were transcendentalists. So Prabhupada sometimes would indicate or relate to himself. Similarly, in different parts of the purpose in CC and Bhagavatam, wherever he gets this opportunity, he would say this. But it needs someone else to actually indicate that it's actually relating to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada do not carry a banner and say, I did it because I'm a pure devotee, because I'm empowered by Nityananda Prabhu. I am doing it. No, they don't do that. But there must come another person who will say, this person is the one. In this book by Prabhupada's disciple, Mula Prakriti Mataji, Srila Prabhupada, a friend to all, some of you would have read that book. One of Prabhupada's godbrother, he was a great sadhu, sannyasi. He had a disciple. And this was in Vrindavan, the last days of Srila Prabhupada in the year 1977. Srila Prabhupada was in his quarters in Krishna Balaram Mandir. And this sadhu, he's a Gaudiya Vaishnava guru, he's Prabhupada's godbrother. He told his disciple, quickly go to Krishna Balaram Mandir. Because Swami Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, that's how his godbrothers would relate, is there in Krishna Balaram Mandir. He is a pure representative of Nityananda Prabhu. If you go and get his mercy, then your life will be successful. He sent his disciple to Krishna Balaram Mandir. So these are the devotees that is being mentioned in this purport by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada writes in the last line, only a pure devotee can preach the glories of the Lord for the benefit of all conditioned souls. It's a deep philosophy. I have no qualification to speak about this philosophy. The songs of a Vaishnava Acharyas are like the Vedic philosophy, the essence of Vedic philosophy in the form of songs. The songs of Narottamadas Thakur, the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the songs of Lochandas Thakur, and all songs of all previous acharyas are the crux of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Tattva. In the song, Ohe Vaishnava Thakura, he says, Ohe Vaishnava Thakura, Dhoyara Sagara, you are an ocean of mercy. And the last stanza says, Amito Kangala Krishna Krishna Boli Dhavi Tava Pache Pache. Krishna say Tomara Krishna Dite Paro. Tomara Shakati Ache. Krishna is yours. And you have the Shakati, you have the Shakti to give Krishna. You have the Shakti. No one else have the Shakti. You have the Shakti to give Krishna. And because you have the Shakti to give Krishna, Amito Kangala Krishna Krishna Boli, I'm running behind you, holding on to your dhoti, crying, Krishna Krishna Boli, please give me Krishna, please give me Krishna. You have Krishna. And that is the devotee Srila Prabhupada is talking about here, who can go around the world and give Krishna. And why do they do that? Why do they want to take so much of trouble? Srila Prabhupada once was in New York, he was in a very high-rise building, and it was his few of his disciples. He looked down on the streets of New York, and this was during office hours, working hours. Thousands of people were on the streets of New York, like you see in the streets of Mumbai, going here and there, hither and thither. Everybody's busy, just like in the streets of Japan, Tokyo. Everyone is so busy doing their own thing. And Prabhupada was looking down from the glass window, and there were tears in his eyes. Why? He was saying, how are we going to deliver all of them? The pure devotees of the Lord, they get great pain in their heart to see people like me. It is very painful. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, on the subject, in the 17th chapter, 70th chapter, when Krishna was in Dwaraka, Narada Muni goes to Dwaraka. And what does he say to Krishna? Krishna, you're sporting very nice leela in Dwaraka. Everything is so perfect in Dwaraka. But look at the conditioned souls, they're suffering so much. Please think of them. Please come and deliver them. I'm coming to your court begging you, please come and save them. Narada Muni, the Sadhu Vaishnavas, and all the Mahajans who have come throughout the Yugas are advocates in the court of Krishna. Krishna is sitting here. They are the advocates for fallen souls like us. They are the barristers who are not paid, free of charge. They come. Please, Krishna, there's this soul here in Kuala Lumpur. He needs your help. Please save him. He's not paying me, but doesn't matter. So they are the unpaid advocates for all the fallen jivas. And why do they do this job? Because of one very, very fundamental reason. The capital CompassSion. Compassion. The capital compassion for the fallen souls. That is the primary reason why they do. That's the primary reason why Advaita Acharya, in a Nada Umkara, oh Narayana, I was crying, roaring like the song Advaita Ashtakam, in the song of glorifying Advaita Acharya, it is said, he shouted, he called for Lord Mahaprabhu, Sriman Mahaprabhu, the Nada Umkara, and Narayana was very peacefully lying in the ocean, causal ocean, and who's disturbing my sleep? Oh, my dear associate, Advaita, who's Sadashiv from the spiritual world, he is calling me, I have to go. Then Mahakrishna thinks, if I don't go, who's going to save this, rescue these fallen souls? So Mahaprabhu comes, he inundates this world with Krishna Prem. But in the song by Lochan Das Thakur would say, Mahaprabhu has inundated this world with love of Krishna. It is flooding everywhere. But then devotees will think, why the 20 million people in Mumbai are not being inundated with love of Krishna? Why only so few? Actually, we take the percentage of the devotees in Radha Gopinath Mandir and Juhu Temple and Mira Road Temple is tiny compared to the 20 million odd people in the whole of Mumbai. What are the rest of the people doing? Are they not being inundated in the love? Of course, Bombay floods every now and then, but this is a natural flood, but not this kind of flood. But what's happening to the rest of the souls? So, Lochan Das Thakur is speaking about his own predicament. He's saying, though the love of Krishna is spreading everywhere, this flood of love of Krishna is spreading where? I'm so unfortunate. I'm not sinking. I'm not being submerged in the ocean of love of Krishna. He's saying, though I'm a broken pot, what happens to the clay pots? They will float. They don't sink. Alright? But if you break it, if they're holes, then they will sink. The water will seep through and that due to the density, it will sink. So similarly, but Bhakti Lochan Das Thakur is saying, though I'm a broken pot, I've got all bad qualities, but I'm not sinking in this ocean of love for Krishna. That is my misfortune. And in another song, Lochan Das Thakur is saying, I'm so unfortunate, I've got no taste for this chanting of this holy name. In the song book, there's this song, the song in Parama Karuna. The song, the last line he would say, Yamaraj is punishing me because I've got no taste for this holy name. And how is Ram Yamaraj punishing for those who are not getting taste for holy name? Another birth. Come back again. So in the glorification, in traditionally before we read Bhagavatam and Shastras, we glorify the Shastras. And that's one very wonderful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. It says that the rising and the setting of the sun is very beautiful. Actually, when we are in the younger days, of course, they also show this in movies, when those who are courting or in love, they go to the beach, they enjoy the setting of the sun. It's very poetic. Great poets write, wow, it's so beautiful, the setting of the sun and the rising of the sun. But they don't know. The setting of the sun means one day of your life is gone. The setting of the sun means both of us, husband and wife, you're one day closer to grave. So the verse in Bhagavatam says, the rising and the setting of the sun means it's taking away our life every day. But sun has got no influence in the lives of the devotees. How's that? Devotees also die. No. For those who are engaged in Harikatha, for those who are engaged in hearing the Bhagavatam, sun has got no influence. Why? Because when they leave this body, then the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, the mighty sun have got no influence. So that is the power of Bhagavatam. And similarly, as we mentioned, like Maharaj mentioned very beautifully yesterday, about the two Bhagavats. So in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Tattva, we speak about the three Bhagavats. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Shastra Bhagavat, and the Devotee Bhagavat. And today's subject matter is about the Devotee Bhagavat. But the Devotee Bhagavat is even more powerful than this Bhagavat itself. Because as Maharaj is saying, if there's no light, you can't read Bhagavatam. But you can chant the holy name. But how did we get the holy name? How did we get the Bhagavatam? Who made us sit here in this place in Mumbai today? Srila Prabhupada. If not for Srila Prabhupada's mercy, I would not have met you. I wouldn't know head or tail about Srimad Bhagavatam. We would not know Krishna. Of course, traditionally we would have been worshipping Krishna. But who knows the real tattva about Krishna? Who knows the real tattva about Jagannath? Mahaprabhu revealed Jagannath. But our acharyas further explain why Jagannath is then formed. Radha Vidura Bhav, the Bhav in separation of Radharani. And Mahaprabhu is the Bhav in separation of Krishna. Radharani Bhav. Who explained all this tattva? We never knew all these things. It's by the mercy of a Bhagavat. And that Bhagavat that we know of is Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, by His mercy, these texts have been revealed. By His mercy, this Shastra has been revealed. In the beginning, the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when the sadhus posed questions to Suta Goswami, oh, Suta Goswami, Heda Bhashunaka Rishi, what will happen to the Nashta, to the people in Kali Yuga? Krishna has left. What is going to happen to them? Krishna swadhama upagate, Krishna vidatam, vidanyana, dharma, adibi, everything has taken and gone back. What will happen? Don't worry. The Shastra known as Bhagavatam, Kalav Nashta, for the people in the age of Kali, Purano Ardo Udodika, the Purana has risen like the morning sun, Ura Aruna. The Purana has risen, the morning sun, to dispel the darkness of the age of Kali. This is the salvation. Srimad Gauranga Maharaj would say, the day I don't speak Bhagavatam is a very bad day for me. All the sadhus, all the Vaishnavas, all the acharyas in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, Bhagavatam is a life and soul. And for all the devotees in this Sampradaya, the hearing of Bhagavatam is a life and soul. We heard about how Vidura, when Vidura came back, Vidura did not take part in the war because he was not very favorable to the war. He was very displeased with the ongoings and the politics and everything in Hastinapura and the diplomacy of Duryodhan. He was not very happy. He left home. He went on a pilgrimage. As we heard, why he went on a pilgrimage, because Prabhu also mentioned the other day, because he wanted to meet a sadhu. And who's a sadhu? Maitreya Rishi. But when he came back, the Pandavas were truly joyful to receive him. And Yudhishthira, Dharmaraj, he would receive Vidura by saying, oh Vidura, oh dear uncle, very full of affection, he would say, you are carrying Krishna within your heart. Stantastena Gadabrata. Because you are carrying Krishna within your heart, wherever you go, that place becomes a place of pilgrimage. And wherever you go, whichever place of pilgrimage you go, you purify that place. One Acharya and Sampradaya would say, why do sadhus go to place of pilgrimage like Braj and Mayapur and so on? It's not that they need that kind of support of the place of pilgrimage that we do. No, they go there to clean up the place of pilgrimage, to actually purify the place of pilgrimage, because due to conditioned souls like me who go there and pollute the place of pilgrimage, the sadhu Vaishnavas go there to purify, decontaminate the place of pilgrimage. That's why they stay in the dham. The sadhu Vaishnavas go there. So when Vidura came back, this is how Yudhishthira would glorify him. You are a walking place of pilgrimage. So there is a stationary place of pilgrimage and there's a walking place of pilgrimage. Sadhus are the walking tirthas. Srila Prabhupada is a walking tirtha. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is a walking tirtha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaurakrishna Das, Babaji Maharaj, the Sat Goswamis, all of our acharyas are walking tirthas because they carry Krishna within their heart. Because they carry Krishna within the heart, they can make Krishna appear within our heart. If they are not carrying Krishna within their heart, they cannot make Krishna appear within our heart. That is our tattva. A Madhyam can take us to Madhyam, a Uttama can take us to Uttama, a Mahabhagavat can take us to that level. Because they are carrying Krishna, because Krishna is Vishram, Krishna is lying very peacefully, very blissfully in the heart, they can deliver Krishna. They can make Krishna appear. Again, why they want to make Krishna appear in their heart? Because they are so, so pained. How Vasudev Datta was so pained. How Prahlad Maharaj was given a boon. What do you want, Priya Prahlad? Oh, Supreme Lord, I don't want to deliver myself. I'm very happy wherever I go. I'm not very disturbed. Even if I go to Narakaloka, I don't care. You know why? Because I'm always remembering you. But look at the dear conditioned souls, O Supreme Lord. Who's going to deliver them? Please deliver them. Vasudev Datta say, please deliver them. Advaita Acharya saying, please deliver them. Haridas Thakur was saying, please deliver them. Everyone was crying for the other soul only. Para Dukha Dukhi. This is the number one called reason why they do this. Because they are so, so pained. The heart bleeds. It's not just crying. It bleeds. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, we can spend gallons of blood to make a person a devotee. And the heart bleeds to see a devotee leave. In one wonderful episode in Gaudiya Math, during the time of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one of his disciples left. You would know this story, but I'm just saying it again for our own purification. Because of some small misunderstanding in the Brahmachari ashram, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, when he came, he could not see this devotee. He asked his disciples, where is such and such a devotee? Where did he go? The devotee said he has left. And he actually shed tears. He says, you have to go and find this devotee. So where would they find in a huge city like Calcutta? So the Brahmacharis left and were looking for him. They didn't know where to start in Calcutta. In Calcutta, of course, it was a huge city that time. It was a capital anyway. And then they remembered this devotee, before he joined the ashram, he was working with a watchmaker. Probably he's there in that shop. So they went to one shop where they were repairing watches. And there, in the corner of that shop, there was this devotee. When these brahmacharis went there to receive him and to ask him to come back to the ashram, this devotee was there. He was so joyful to see them because he thought everybody has forgotten and abandoned me. But when he saw this devotee coming back to get him back, to take him back to the spiritual master, he was overjoyed with bliss. And why this incident took place? Because their spiritual master was an ocean of mercy. He couldn't see one soul leave. Prabhupada would shed tears when a devotee leaves. Because of intense, extreme compassion. But we say Mahaprabhu is most compassionate. Mahavadanyaya, Mahakarunya, Mahavadaraya. He is most compassionate. Yes, he is most compassionate. But our acharyas would say, Nityananda Mahajan is even more compassionate. Why? The mercy compassion has been entrusted in Nityananda Prabhu. The Kripa Shakti has been entrusted in Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu is even more compassionate. That's why we sing this song, glorifying Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He says, Nithai Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Shushitala. The lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu is cooling the millions and millions of the rays of the soothing moon. Why we need the soothing rays of the moon? Because samsara dava nalanida loka, it's burning, but we don't see the burning, the flame. We are very happy living in this material. Oh, so sweet, so nice. But actually it's burning, like I'm sitting here. There's a furnace at the bottom, but I'm not feeling it. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, actually there's a stove behind under you. It's burning. You're not feeling it, but you are getting toasted. You're getting barbecued. Very nicely, if you've seen barbecued, you're not feeling it, but you're getting barbecued. Finally, you'll be barbecued in the incinerator. But now you're being barbecued alive, like in Naraka. You're being barbecued, but you're not feeling it. Samsara dama anala, this is burning. This forest fire, but you are living very happily. So, but Nityananda Prabhu, he is trying to do the opposite. He's giving the rays, the soothing rays, the moon. But then the Acharya says, more merciful than Nityananda Prabhu are the sadhu Vaishnavas who come down. Nityananda Prabhu completed his earthly pastimes, his Bauma Leela, and went back to the spiritual world. But who's doing this dirty job of sitting down at 26 Second Avenue and tolerating these hippies? Who has to do this dirty job of going and sitting in Tom's Green Square Park and chanting alone and then looking at the hippies dancing around him? Who has to tolerate all the idiosyncrasies and the stupidity of these Milechas and Yavanas? Who has to tolerate all these things? Who has to tolerate to see the picture of the Guru Maharaj upside down on the Vyasa-san in Japan? Who has to tolerate when they say, do Guru Puja, do bring Pushpa? They said, oh, Prabhupada wants Pushpana rice. They brought Pushpana rice. Who had to tolerate all these things? The Sadhu Vaishnava has to tolerate all these things. So he is most merciful. And because of his intense compassion, his heart bleeds so much for them. He tolerates. He tolerated so much. This is why we say, the Sadhu Vaishnavas, our only goal, Prabhupada says, hold on to my dhoti. I will take you back. But then some will say, well, Prabhupada is not around. How is he going to deliver me? We have to understand the philosophy of gurus. The philosophy of Guru Tattva doesn't work like material philosophy. Body is gone, everything is gone. The Guru Tattva philosophy is very deep. I'm not qualified to speak about the philosophy, but nevertheless, the Sadhu Guru, the Sadhu Vaishnava will deliver you. That faith we must have. If you hold on to the lotus feet of Prabhupada, the Sadhu Guru will deliver us. Sometimes there are devotees in a movement will look for, I'm looking for a pure devotee guru. Have you come across this? I'm looking for a pure devotee guru. As much as we are looking for a Sadguru, we must be a Sadshishya. You may find a Sadguru sitting next to you. If Gorakshidas Babaji is sitting here, we would say, Prabhu, we cannot tolerate your smell. Can you sit outside? Because we cannot understand, we cannot see a sadhu. What is taking real darshan of a guru? Not seeing guru, that's darshan. Seeing a guru, seeing the physical form of the spiritual master is not real darshan. Real darshan is understanding who my Guru Maharaj actually is. That is real darshan. Who he actually is. When Srila Prabhupada was around, nobody knew, or few probably knew who he was. Today, even some of his godbrothers saying, oh yes, he's an emissary of Nityananda Prabhu. Oh, he's from Radha Krishna pastimes. Today we say, but when he was personally around, Abhai Babu, he's a grasta. I'm a sannyas. they couldn't understand Abhay Babu. Because I'm a sannyas, I'm born Brahmana, in one very wonderful, very painful, yet very poignant pastime. I'll conclude with this pastime. Time's up, isn't it? In a very poignant pastime, this was told to me by His Grace Kuruma Rupa Prabhu. He told me the untold story because he edited this book, Srila Prabhupada, a friend to all. He edited the book. So some of this information was edited out of this book because it was sensitive. When Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur, that Mayapur Chandrodaya Mandir was in the initial period of construction, Prabhupada built this temple. The devotees, he brought his Western devotees were there, and Prabhupada called his god brothers from the Gaudiya Mats and all the splintered mats to come to host them. Prabhupada loves to host. And he made his Western disciples cook. His Malachas and Yavana disciples cook. So they cooked and they offered. They were all sadhus, were all seated. And a few of them refused to partake that prasad. And a few of them even refused to drink water. Why? Because the disciples of Swami Maharaj Bhaktivedanta are not qualified. We will not mention names because we will be aparadis. I'm not even qualified to speak these pastimes. But for our own, to understand the glories of Prabhupada, not to demean anyone else, we are hearing these pastimes. So Prabhupada was very pained. If you read Shikshamrita, the letters of Srila Prabhupada, you can come across this letter written by one of Srila Prabhupada's god brothers to Srila Prabhupada. He says, Swami Maharaj, you are preaching very nicely in the Western world. You are getting a lot of money, Lakshmi. Our math has been donated a small building, but we have no money to renovate this building. If you are kind enough, please give me some Lakshmi donation so that we can renovate. So Srila Prabhupada would reply, Dear Dash Maharaj, I would not mention. Yes, we are distributing many books in the Western world. Yes, we are making a lot of, we are generating thousands of dollars every day. Through my disciples, they are distributing these books. I would love to give you this Lakshmi for your temple construction. But unfortunately, this money was generated by Malachas and Yavanas. So you are a Paka Brahmana. If I were to give you this Lakshmi, you will become contaminated. But if you are kind enough, you give me this building, we will renovate it. These pastimes is actually very painful pastimes. Painful because here is Srila Prabhupada when he came back from India in the year, America in the year 1971, when somebody asked him, Swamiji, can you show us some miracles? These are my miracles. The dancing white elephants. And here somebody can say, these dancing white elephants are not qualified, Bravaishnavas. In Upadesha Amrita, Rupa Goswami will say, even in Ganges, sometimes we'll see bubbles. But it doesn't mean Ganges is contaminated. She's always pure. Sometimes you may see faults. If we go to South India, some of us, if we go to South India, if you see, if we go to the Brahmana's house in houses in South India, and if we were take to, we would go to sit and there and take prasad, some of us would embarrass ourselves. Because why? They are full of rituals. Even before taking prasad, they will do so many things that we will think, what is he doing? I don't know anything. I don't know what to do. We will embarrass ourselves because we do not have that culture. They will clean the leaves. They will throw the water around the leaves 3 times. They will drink some water to purify themselves, achaman themselves. Then they will take prasad. And the prasad is arranged in a sequence order. And you eat in the sequence order. If you don't eat in the sequence order, you start with the sweet and end up with this yogurt and go there and here they will say, oh my, these boys from ISKCON, they are not trained. We will embarrass ourselves in the South Indian Brahmana's homes. This is a fact. So I'm always very careful when I go. I try not to eat with them. There's so much of protocol. But Srila Prabhupada was not too keen on that. Srila Prabhupada gave us the essence. One day, he hoped, Prabhupada's last final lesson when he was in dying bed in Krishna Balaram Mandir, Prabhupada was translating the 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, 14th chapter. What is the 14th chapter? Pardon? Brahma Bihona Leela. With the Madhvas, don't read. They are very offended. Oh, how Brahmaji can become in Moha. Brahma, Madhvas don't read that chapter. Prabhupada was translating. But towards the last few weeks, he could not. But one of Prabhupada's last lesson, he said, I want to create a first-class man. What does first-class man actually mean? What does first-class man actually means in our term? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has clearly explained what is the first-class man in his discourse with the Smarta Brahmanas. The first-class man means he is a Vaishnava. As long as chanting the names of Krishna, as long as worshipping Krishna, he is a first-class man. Isn't Haridas Thakur a first-class person? Born in a Malecha family? Isn't Kolavecha Sridhar, born in a low family, a first-class man? Mahaprabhu drank from his lota, which is used for cleaning. And Mahaprabhu, Kolavecha Sridhar was pained at her. Mahaprabhu, my entire kula is gone. You have drank from this lota. Wasn't Kolavecha Sridhar first-class man? The Supreme Lord is drinking from the lota. We are offering golden cups that Lord may not drink. He drank from the broken, what do you call, iron pot, which is used to, you know, for what? Wasn't Kolavecha Sridhar a first-class man? Wasn't Haridas Thakur a first-class man? Who would get the benediction for the Lord to carry on his laps and dance on the streets of Puri? Wasn't he a first-class man? Wasn't Kanakadas, who was not allowed into the Udupi Math Krishna temple, a first-class man? But Krishna, he have to switch his position to look at Kanakadas chanting behind. Oh, my Kanakadas is not allowed into my temple. Let me at least have his darshan. Wasn't he a first-class man? These are the first-class men that the Sadhu Vaishnavas want to create. This is the first-class man that Srila Prabhupada want to create. When yesterday Prabhu was saying, Somadas Prabhu was saying, Prabhupada was in the West and they were saying during Krishna's time, these temples were all built with jewels and expensive honor, expensive stones. And then the devotees were asking Prabhupada, but nowadays we cannot afford all these jewels and so on when to build these temples. Prabhupada took his stick and he showed, pointing towards the devotees, these are my jewels. Sometimes the devotees ask Prabhupada, who's a pure devotee? Sometimes Prabhupada would say, all of my disciples are pure devotees. Sometimes Prabhupada would say, all the devotees in this movement are pure devotees. Of course, when we say pure devotees, there are many categories. So, but nevertheless, because we have taken this mercy that has been given to us by Srila Prabhupada, we are sinking in this, we are broken pot nevertheless, like Lochan Das Thakur saying, but at least we are submerging in this ocean of Krishna Prem by the mercy of Sadhu Vaishnava like Prabhupada. And because of the extreme compassion, we are sitting here today. Because of this extreme compassion, we have become one family. Because of the extreme compassion, we are able to serve the parampara. There is no greater illustrious parampara than our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya parampara. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in the near future, all the Vaishnava Sampradayas will take shelter under our Sampradaya. This is a fact. They will have to take shelter. because everything else will disintegrate. Because the Iyengar boy from the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya is today in San Jose, California. He's an IT engineer. His father is doing puja for Srivas Pramal or Ranganath. His son is in the Silicon Valley in California, having a mug in his hand, having a beer in his hand. This is a fact. But the reverse is happening in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. From the most crestfallen, now we are becoming polished. The reverse tide is only happening here. That's why I'm saying it's extremely fortunate to be here. Amongst you, amongst the great devotees and disciples of these devotees of Sri Radha Gopinath and disciples of Holiness Radhanath Maharaj in this wonderful temple. So all of you all are very great devotees. And today we spoke about those great devotees. So thank you very much for bearing with us. Sorry if I've made any mistakes, any shortcomings. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.